Okay, so good morning, everyone. My name is Agnes Stojcic, and I work in the international office. And one of the things that I'm working with are short-term mobilities. And among the short-term mobilities, I work with blended intensive programs as well. Do you want to introduce yourself at this point, Anerita?
Yes, I'm Anna-Riitta Vanhala, and I'm working for the Department of Language and Communication Studies as an international coordinator. And I will be working with those teachers who want to arrange VIPs at our department.
So as I mentioned, the structure of this info session is that we are going to go through with Anna-Riitta some slides. We try to have a compact information, basic information about BIPs, if you are not very familiar with what BIPs are, and after which there would be plenty of time for you to ask questions. So the idea is that you can, this is your chance to, or one of the chances to ask questions. And of course, later as well, if you are applying for the funding and you would like to know more information, you can also contact us later as well. But so that you know that it's not all us talking for 2 hours here. Hopefully it's only like maybe half an hour. But let's get started. Let's see. Yes. So I hope you are seeing the slides. Let me know if there's some problem. But so what is a BIP? BIP is it stands for Blended Intensive Programs. And here we kind of like listed what each part means. So blended is called blended because in BIPs there's a compulsory physical part of the course. So there will be an event organized where people do travel to and physically participate there. But there's also a compulsory virtual section to these courses, and they are both compulsory. So it's called a blended format. They are intensive because they are short. They can be from 5 to 30 days long, so 5 is the minimum, and it's also the most common length of the courses. So most organizers opt for the 5 days long courses, and for this course, students or the participants need to get a minimum of 3 ECTS credits. And it's some kind of program. So maybe you have already mentioned that, notice that in my speech, I sometimes refer to a course, sometimes an event. So it tends to be a course most often, but it doesn't have to be a course. It can be also some other kind of event. For example, we have also organized a staff week event for staff members. So it wasn't a course. And BIPs are a good way to kind of get deeper in cooperating with some certain Erasmus partners, and you can also create maybe an even longer kind of cooperation mode. So if now you are going to organize a BIP with certain partners, it doesn't have to be just this one time thing. You can continue maybe the cooperation, maybe in the form of other BIPs that you get continuation to this BIP that you organize now. Maybe you see some other ways of cooperation, but it's a way to start strengthening the cooperation mode with partner universities. And the specific partner academic partners from those universities. And if you would like to, for example, organize or have this, if you're organizing a course now as a BIP and you would like to do it again, it's possible that this time you would be the organizing party, you would be the organizing university, and next year one of the other partner universities is going to apply for funding for their university. They are going to be the main organizer, and our students will be going there. And then again, the next one. So you can circulate the organizational role of the course or the event. And BIPs are also a good opportunity if you would like to, for example, gain more international teaching experience or try out different kind of teaching methods, maybe something you have had in mind and you would like to test it out. This is a good opportunity. It's a brief course, so you can see how your ideas are working out. And you can also, of course, test out ideas that you might have with some other academics from partner universities. And we organize this info session now because next month in February, we are going to have the application open for the funding to organize a BIP. And we have five fundings available, and two fundings are earmarked for BIPs that are organized together with partners from the Fordham Alliance. So that's good to keep in mind that we kind of reserve at least two spots for the Fordham corporations. The course, if you get funding, the course or an event have to be organized before June 2026. So you would have about 1.5 years from now to realize the course. And the application will happen through a web portal form that will be online and running when the application time starts. So the BIPs have a certain amount of criteria that have to be fulfilled in order to get the funding and to be able to keep the funding. One of the criteria is that in this partner ring that I mentioned, there has to be at least three different universities from the three different Erasmus program countries. So, in addition to JYU, you would need at least two other partners from two different countries. But even though this is the minimum, it's a very good idea to look for a bit more partners. We are going to talk about the reasons for that, but it can be also more, and we do also recommend that maybe three additional partners, four additional partners could be a wise decision. The partners that you would be cooperating with, they need to be our Erasmus partners, and it is the faculty's international coordinator. So like Anna-Rita is one of them. You can turn to your faculty's international coordinator to ask about who your faculty's Erasmus partners are. You might be aware of some of them already, but if you would like to have a more complete list, you can ask from your faculty. And as I mentioned, the physical part of the activity of the course need to be at least 5 days long, and it can be maximum 30 days long, and a minimum of three ECTS credits have to be given to the participants. And there's the compulsory virtual part as well, and it can be before the course or after the course or before and after the course. So there's quite a lot of flexibility about this. And when we talk about BIPs, there is a very strict minimum participant number that we have to follow. So that's one of the kind of the biggest thing that we need to take care of also as organizing, to make sure really that you have the minimum number of participants, because the number of participants and the funding amount is connected. They are linked together. So if there are changes in the participant number, that may or they may have an impact on the funding amount as well. And in the following, we are going to go through the main points of BIP. So you are going to get a bit more information now about this. And then we also look forward what is going to happen after this info session. So let's talk first a bit about the partners. So what are the roles of the different partners? Now, we are going to open the application for applying for funding. So if you're applying for funding, you will be the organizer, the organizing university, who is also the coordinating university and the receiving university. So the course will be organized in Finland, in Jyväskylä, and the partners' students are going to come to us, and you will be the coordinator of this course. So the first responsibility that you would have is to apply for funding. You would be the main responsible for organizing the course, also the virtual part. Our university will be the one that is granting the ECTS credits for the students. And in general, you would need to follow the processes of the University of Jyväskylä. There are a lot of things, of course, connected to organizing a course and receiving students from abroad and staff from abroad for teaching and so on. And it's very, very important that you are always keeping in loop the faculty level international coordinator. So the administrative part needs to be kept in the loop. And naturally, I also will be quite a lot present in the organization or somehow well there in the background, making sure that administrative issues are going well and we fulfill all the criteria and everything is going well. Then what are the roles of the partner institutions? In BIPs, the idea really is that you do together. So the idea is not that you come up with an idea, you have a ready idea, and then you just select a couple of partners who send students, and maybe they also send some teachers, but like that you do everything. Here, really, the cooperation is really in central role. So they would be present in putting together the course from maybe not from the very beginning on, but quite from the beginning on. So it wouldn't be all on your shoulders, all the responsibility. And typically, the partner universities send both the teaching staff and students to participate to the course. But it's also possible that a partner sends only maybe teachers to teach or one teacher, or they send only students. So all these options are possible. But yes, as I mentioned, the most typical is that they send both teachers and students. I mentioned that the number of participants is an important factor. So the partner universities have to kind of be sure and really guarantee that they send number of students that they promise you in at this point or in the beginning. They would be paying the grants both for the students, for their own students, and for their own teaching staff. So the BIP funding that you're applying for, it is not used for the mobility grants of the teachers or the students. It's always the home university of the students or the teachers who are paying their grants. And then there will be some administrative responsibilities. We as a coordinating university, we will need certain information that they will need to provide us. And in the end, they also need to report their participants to a platform called Beneficiary Module. It's a platform that the European Commission uses. And they will need to report their own participants in this platform. And this platform is used for following how many participants are participating to the course. So it's very, very important that in this platform, all the participants show, because that's how we will, or not we, but others will, the national agency and the commission will see whether there were indeed the minimum participants on the course. So it's a very important, it's maybe not a very big, but very important step. Now a bit about the students. And in Finnish, the title says mobile students. So the students who we count as participants to the course, they have to be those who actually come from outside of Finland to Finland. Students can also, our students, JVU students, degree students, Finnish or international, or even exchange students who are currently here in Jyväskylä, they can participate to this course, but those students are seen as local students and they are not counted towards the minimum. And as I mentioned, that the funding is linked to the number of students who are the mobile students who are participating to the course. And there are three categories of fundings and minimum student participants in BIPs. There's if you or if one organizes a course with minimum 10 participants, then the funding that you can get is 4,000 euros. If minimum 15 students, it means 6,000 euros funding, and 20 students would mean minimum 10, 20 students mean 8,000 euros. In this application round, we are mainly aiming to get applications for 20 students. So that's something good to keep in mind, that now we are aiming for BIPs that we can get 8,000 euros for, and you would be aiming for minimum 20 students. And in the application form, there's also a possibility to apply for less. Smaller BIPs or 15 students BIPs, but priority will be given for those who apply for the maximum number, the 20, or the maximum sum. And I keep on saying minimum number of students. So 20 means that minimum 20. So you can have more students. You would need to have minimum 20 students coming from abroad. But on top of that, you can, and of course, we would like if also our students from here can also participate to the course. So the courses will be a bit larger than what shows on the slides. And also a tip that I think it's a new tendency that we are noticing all around Europe, that students don't kind of stick to their plans as well as before, maybe. It could be for different reasons, but the tendency is that there are increased numbers of cancellations. So when you are talking with partners, let's say you have you're applying for a 20 persons course. And then you have two partners that would give a average of 10 students from each partner to send. It would be good if both partners would recruit maybe 13, 14 students each, and they would have a few students on a waiting list, because cancellations are very common. So in order to stay in the minimum number, necessary number, it's good to calculate in a couple of more participants. This thing is very kind of important, but there is some flexibility still. So if you are applying for a 20 persons BIP, and there will be one or two persons don't show up, or they cancel before, you can still keep the 8,000 euros as it is. So there's a bit of this flexibility, but if it drops more than the funding sum will also drop. So there is this 10% of flexibility kind of in the number of participants. This is good for you to know, but remember that we are here in the background in the administration and we are helping you with it and we are keeping an eye on these issues as well. If it looks like that you don't get enough participants from the BIP partner universities, it's also a good news that also other students from other Erasmus partners can participate, and we can count them also as participants. So if it looks like maybe 3 months before the course that the partners are struggling to recruit enough students, then we can also you can turn to your faculty's international coordinator and tell that, hey, now we have these issues. Can we look into what kind of other Erasmus partners we have? And we could advertise the course for them so they can also send a couple of students. But remember that these also have to be Erasmus partners. So again, the cooperation with the faculty level international coordinator is very important. As I mentioned in the previous slide, students are getting Erasmus grants from their own home university, and it is the grant is to cover of course the travel fees and the accommodation and everyday living here. And it's very important that when you start looking for partners, then one of the first questions that you need to ask from the partners, alongside, of course, the content of the course, if they have interest, they also need to make sure from their own Erasmus office or from their own international office that their university have money to send students. Because that might be a case that some universities have very limited amount of grant to use for these short-term mobilities, and they cannot send 10 students. This is actually the case with us. Like we can't participate to many, many BIPs and send 10 students per BIP. We usually can send maybe 3, 4, 5 students to a BIP because we have limited funding. So this is a very important thing that you talk about immediately from the beginning with your partners when you are looking for the partners. And this is also a reason why you might need a bit more partners, because if they can't send many students, that means that you need to increase the number of partners. And as I mentioned, the students need to be reported in this platform called Beneficiary Module. And very important, if they are not reported, then we can lose the money that we have received from the commission. And again, just a tip that because of the cancellations that I mentioned, that the students tend to cancel, it's good to kind of keep students somehow engaged already before the physical part. So maybe it is a good idea to have the virtual part prior to the physical part. So already, and there is some kind of engagement. Students get to know each other and the students get to know you. Maybe there could be some information going out for them regularly or something, just to make sure that that they remember and then they kind of don't kind of like give up on this plan. Because sometimes it is the recruitment needs to be sometimes quite early on. So there are many months before actually the BIP would happen. So it's good to keep them engaged, to keep them on board. And then Anna-Riitta will take over from me.
Okay, this is about the virtual part of the course. Blended intensive program should have or has to have a virtual part also. It can be arranged before or after the physical part of the course, and maybe it's a good idea have it before because you have to sort of keep the students informed or tied to the course also earlier. It can be also both before and after. There's no very not very strict rules for the part, but it might be sort of session where you give information for the students before the course, and or afterwards you give information on the tasks or grades given or something like that, or presentations of the group works. Anyhow, it has to be, the students have to be active during these sessions also, and they have to work together somehow, not only work alone with some tasks or listen to the lectures, online lectures. And next one.
I'm
Next, yes.
trying. I'm trying.
Okay. Yeah,
Finally, yes.
thanks. Yes. Okay, about the funding you receive if you get the money or the grant. How to use it? What kind of things you can do with it? It is very recommended that you will also have a technical support, which means that you can sort of recruit a person or student, for example, who helps you in all kind of things during the before and during the BIP, and that is, I think it usually is done during those BIPs we have had, and you can use the money also for other things. I don't know how relevant these other things are, for example, renting some halls or equipment. It might be possible, but or if you wish to travel somewhere with a group of students in near Jyväskylä, you can use money for that. And you can use the money for meals during the physical part of the course, and also planning and preparing the course is it's possible if you can sort of give good reasons for that. And some kind of IT personnel can also be used if necessary for some reason. Administration of the or coordination of the course. Creating material for the course. Even a preparing a visit might be possible, or translation. Yes, if you have some free time program for the students, that's also possible. It's possible to use the grant for that. Next one, please. Okay, what is the process like? Application time is for you is the from 3rd to 28 February, and you will do the application in Webroball. I guess it will be advertised somehow through emails or other way. You should, as Agnes has said, you should be doing this together with your partners, and you just have to discuss with them and sort of make sure that they They also have the students to send to the BIP, and in that you can always ask the international coordinators at your faculty or department to help you. And in many cases, you also have to stress to the partner and perhaps also contact the Erasmus office at the partner university to make sure that there are the students and other participants have funding for the BIP, and how many participants it is possible to send from there, from the partner. So please discuss with your partners about everything, and also stress con about contacting the Erasmus office. Yeah, the results will be informed in the end of March about results about if you received a grant from the JYU. When you have received that information, you can start the practical arrangements. Yes, the international office make sure that all the administrative matters will be handled and done correctly, because this is a European Union funding, so it has to be used in a certain way. And you receive the information or the instructions from the international office also. Yes. Next, please. What kind of information is used needed when doing the application? It is listed here. Of course, your personal details, and also the other persons arranging the course, the name of the BIP, the amount of students who are participating, and you can also give the number of students or persons from the JYU who are participating, the names of the participant partner universities and teachers. Also, you have to ask the international coordinator of the department if there is an Erasmus agreement, and it has to be stated here in the application also. And methods and outcomes of the course, and the amount of credits the students receive. It can be more than three also. And aims and this course description, the starting dates of the physical part, the virtual part, and the description of it, where the course is arranged, how you are planning to use the grant, and a letter of intent, which is written by a pedagogical head of the department, or dean of the department who is responsible for education. So it depends on each faculty of school or who the person will be. And it is for the overall What is it called? So that all the faculty also, the faculty is also with you in arranging this course next slide. Thanks. Yes, after you have received the grant, you will be planning the course with partners more thoroughly, and then you hopefully also recruit technical support who receives some payment also for the work, a student, for example. And you should recruit also JYE students on the course in very early stage, and you should accept the course at the faculty council at the faculty as you do all the other courses you are arranging at a certain faculty. So please take care of this by contacting your opintopäällikkö. What is the English name for opintopäällikkö? Anyhow, the
Head of,
administrative
is it head of?
head of st student
Oh,
matters
yeah.
at the faculty, you know, possibly. But you can also ask the international coordinator of your faculty who it is. And there is a certain model task list which you can use also in planning the course. So it makes it more easier in that way. Well, it will be done in connection with the international office and the international coordinator of the faculty. So that should be this help for arranging the course. These courses have been arranged at the JYU earlier, so you can see you can see what kind of courses have been arranged and sort of use those experiences when planning your course.
And many of these, not all of them, but I know that at least the first one and a couple of others, also the second one, definitely is also available in English. So you can use the link and then just change the language, so you can read about other people's organizers' experiences as well, how it felt like to organize a course.
And there's some information at UNO also. You can read about the blended intensive program funding there. Some basic information there.